Hey, racing fans, Steve Wolf here for the International Equine Network. We want to welcome you to our one-hour podcast. This is the Flying Turns of Harness Racing. And, of course, with me is the founder of the International Equine Network, Scott Miller. Scott, how are you doing?
Be here. Looking forward to today. Got Christmas out of the way, and I'm ready
out of the
to
way.
Get back
Come
to
on,
racing.
Did you get a lot of coal, or did you Santa treat you right?
Oh, he treated me right, gave me plenty of coal. I'm warm for the winter.
Okay. Well, we are here, and we've got a lot to talk about. And probably the number one topic on everyone's mind in the harness racing world in the United States is going to be, who are the horses of the year and the Dan Patch Award winners? Scott,
hey,
do you
what,
have a favorite choice?
What's that?
Do you have a favorite horse in mind?
Yes, I do. I kind of like Atlanta.
Okay.
I want to see, because she was here at Sunshine Meadows.
Right.
And, you know, I'd like to see that, but I don't know if that's going to happen. She kind of tailed off at the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's this time of the year that all the members in good standing of the United States Harness Writers Association and many of the race secretaries at the tracks in the United States have already voted for the Harness Horse of the Year and all the year-end winners, both equine and human. United States Harness Writers announces all the 12 divisional winning trotters and pacers. And then, and of course, then that votes will come out in next week, the who won the divisions. But then it's not until the end of February at the Harness Writers Dan Patch Awards Banquet in Orlando that the Horse of the Year, the Trotter of the Year, the Pacer of the Year, and then Horse of the Year will be announced.
Yeah, they've got a big dinner up there. It's going to be broadcast live via USTA that evening, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. In other words, and in these divisions, the trotters have six divisional winners, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, older mares in the horse divisions, and the pacers have the same as that. And that's what will be announced coming up. But, yeah, it's going to be suspenseful. And I don't know about your Atlanta, though, but you know what we should do? We should probably go over who the top horses are in each division.
Yeah, What about the two-year-old colts? Amigo Hall, El Ideal,
right.
And Real Cool Sam.
Yeah, they are the top two-year-old trotting colts that are you know out there. I'll be honest with you. I'm a member of the Harness Writers, and I voted for Real Cool Sam. He won his first eight starts in a row, and then finished fourth. In the not the Breeders' Crown, he finished fourth in the Breeders' Crown. Other than that, he had a perfect season. Whereas Amigo Hall, he had only six wins, but he was super fast, but he also had a breaking problem, and you know how costly that can be with a trotter.
Oh, that's tough, you know, and that's a hard habit to get them out of, you know, to get so excited.
Yeah, and so it was sort of hit and miss. In the Breeders' Crown, Amigo Hall, he made a break. In the Valley Victory Final, he made a break. But before that, he had won four of his last five starts. And we'll see what happens to him in the future for next year, because if they can fix him and get him trotting straight, you know, he's going to be super, because he was super fast when he stayed on gate. But we got a lot of categories to go over. Next is the two-year-old trotting fillies, and the top ones are Hypnotic AM, Sister Sledge, Senorita Rita, Rock Swan, and Ramona Hill. Now, some of you might say, why the hell is Steve putting five horses out there for this one division? And that's because I don't think I've ever seen a division so tight that five horses, either any one of these five horses, you can make a case for being a two-year-old Trotting Filly of the Year.
that Ramona Hill?
Yes.
Tough horse.
Yes, very. She only made 7 starts, won 6 of them.
But that's my pick, Ramona Hill.
Yeah, she's going to be a top one because and she won the Breeders' Crown. She really came on. But she missed part of the show during the regular season. And because of that, I'm going with Hypnotic AM. She won 7 of 9 starts. She was there from the beginning of the season to the end. New York Sire Stakes champion. But it's just uncanny to have that many horses actually be a legitimate contender. Now let's go up to the toughest division, the 3-year-old trotting colts, where we've got 3 outstanding horses. Forbidden Trade, he won the Hamiltonian. Gimpanzee, who had 8 wins, you know, the same as Forbidden Trade, and he also won the Matron, and he won the Breeder's Crown. But then you've got Green Shoe, who he was just awesome this year. He won 10 of 13 starts. The 2 starts that he didn't win, he finished second. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Of his 13 starts, 3 times he finished second. He was right there in all the big races, but he got beat. And he pretty much got beat because he got interfered with once, and he got, a so-so drive, I'd say. But either way, he's just an awesome horse. That's who I voted for.
Well, that's who I like, too, because a lot of the trainers here at Sunshine Meadows were talking about him, you know, all summer long. You know, you can hear his name popping up in conversation quite often. So that's who I picked also.
Yeah. I mean, I really think he and we'll talk more about Green Shoe later, but let's go on now. 3-year-old trotting fillies. There's Evident Beauty, Millie's Possession, and When Doves Cry. Now, When Doves Cry, she was the Hamiltonian Oaks winner. She won 5 of 12 starts, made $650,000. Millie's Possession, she raced 14 times and won 11 of them, actually finished second and third in the other 2, so she was right in the money. She made $500,000. And Evident Beauty, again, 9 wins, $530,000 in earnings. There's just so many that are of quality. I actually went for Millie's Possession primarily because of the 11 wins. I mean, she was at every dance all season long, and when she wasn't a winner, she was second or third.
That's very, very interesting, you know, to see a horse be able to do that, you know, at that this time of year, you know, to be able to continue to win like that.
Yeah, it's and then, of course, they'll either be right at the Broodmare Farm or we might see them racing again, which would be a positive thing.
You got that right.
Now we're going to turn up to the vision that you're talking about, the older trotting mares. And there's only 2 horses that can be considered here. And, of course, it's Atlanta, the one horse that you like. She won 8 starts, made $770,000. She's the prior year Hamiltonian winner. But then there's this other mare that she's been racing against her whole career, Manchego, who's trained by Nancy Tactor, also won 8 times with 1 second. She made $585,000, but she also shows finishing second in the TVG Open against older male trotters. She finished second by 3/4 of a length and was cutting a mile tough. The week before that, she beat the boys in a preferred handicap. The week before that, she won the Breeders' Crown. And weeks before that, she won the Dayton Derby. And it's, you know, she's been racing against the male horses. And that's why I'm going with her over Atlanta for a trotting mare of the year.
Yeah. Well, the reason I liked Atlanta is she did so much so early, you know, and she was here at Sunshine Meadows for a while. And, you know, I liked the way she was running, and I just liked her, I guess, because she was a Hambo winner.
Nope. You know what? You can vote for either one, the harness riders, it's not a wrong choice. I mean, there's people that'll argue with you, but we live in a democracy, and you can vote for who, you know, whoever you want. But let's move on. We're going to get to the older horse division. And here's where I have a big question. The favorites are Guardian Angel AS, Six Pack, and Zaccon Geo. Let me explain to our readers out there that aren't familiar with this trotter, Zaccon Geo. He is from Italy, and he came over here to race in the Yonkers International Trot for $1 million. And he actually was parked on the outside, had to go three wide before the top of the stretch, and actually cleared to the lead and pulled away. He won for fun against the best trotters in the world that came over. Before that, he'd never raced in the United States.
Well, you know, that says a lot because, you know, making the trip over is taxing on you.
You and Scott, I know you're an expert on flying and shipping these horses. I mean, that's an amazing feat.
Yeah, and the surface, too. I know that the surface was a big change, and for him to do that, that says something in itself.
Well, let's dwell into that a little bit, Scott, because you keep telling me things that I never had known before. Like when you were shipping horses, you did something special for them so they became acclimated easier. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, what we used to do is we would take water with us from whether they're coming from Italy or France or wherever, and we would cut it into the water that we had on board the plane every time that we would water them, you know, to help, you know, not be such a shock to their system, you know, changing, you know, types of water. And
right.
You know, we'd take feed from whatever country they were coming from, and we would mix in with the feed that they were going to have here in the States. And a lot of things really could help out, like hallway feed. They deliver feed all over the world. And if you get a trainer that's using hallway feed, you know, it's really good because you don't have to fool with that because they'll be on the same thing that they were on in Italy, you know, as here. But, you know, those
right.
are the kind of things that we did.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, maybe going to vacation in Mexico and bringing your own or buying bottled water so that
right.
your system
okay.
doesn't react to the change. But
yeah.
obviously they probably did that with Zaccon Geo because he was red hot, but it was also his 10th straight win, undefeated in 2019. And actually, when he came to the U.S., he was undefeated in 17 straight races. When you look at his program, in the program book, it all had ones on it. It was an amazing horse. But in my mind, you have to start at least two or three times in the United States to be even considered for Horse of the Year honors. And so that's why I sort of take him out of the loop, and I'd be really surprised if he got there. Now, Six Pack, he's a great trotter trained by Aki Svanstedt. He only won four times, but they were impressive wins. And in world record time at Lexington and the TVG Open that he won, the Alleredge, I mean, he's went 149-2, and he is the only trotter that set world records at ages 2, 3, and 4, which is impressive. Guardian Angel AS, now, he has the most wins of the contenders. Well, not as many as Zaccon, but in the United States, he had 7 wins, made $800,000, which is quite a bit more than Six Pack. He didn't set the world records, but he was at every dance and first, second, or third every week. And that's who I went as my choice, was Guardian Angel AS.
Yeah, when you're consistent like that, you know, and you're racing against, you know, the top of the line, no matter what age group you're in, you know, that's hard to do. And I think you might be right on the money on that one.
And now we're going to head over to the Pacers. And the two-year-old Pacers, there's Elver Hanover, Poppy Rob Hanover, and Tall Dark Stranger. Elver Hanover was a latecomer, but boy, he was awful good. He only made 9 starts, and he won all 9 of them. He won the International Stake, the Bluegrass Stake. He was great in the Ohio Sire Stakes. but he wasn't staked to the other big races. In other words, no Breeders' Crown, no, what do you call it, the Meadowlands, the no, not the TVG, but he was just awesome. I mean, he didn't lose, and he could be great next year, but it's just a sin that they didn't think enough to be able to stake him to the other rich stakes.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, you know, when you have that something like that happen to you. We'll see next year, you know, how he
exactly. I mean, they still, the owners made $363,000. That's nothing to sneeze at. The other contender, Poppy Rob Hanover, trained by Brett Pelling. And this horse here won four of his last five starts. Actually, he won five in a row, but in the Breeders' Crown, he was first place second. He interfered with the Tall Dark Stranger, and Tall Dark Stranger got placed first. But nonetheless, Poppy Rod Hanover needs to be considered. 12 starts, 6 wins, 4 seconds, 2 thirds, never worse than third in his career, $754,000. But then there's Tall Dark
Stranger.
Go ahead.
You might have to reverse the decision on this and give it to the course of the year.
Well, we don't even know if they've appealed it or not, but... there you go. Tall Dark Stranger is my top choice. And this horse won 8 of 9 starts with 1 second place finish. And the only problem is that the one win that where he's placed was against Poppy Rob Hanover. But before that, the horse was perfect and made over $700,000. Nancy Tactor trains him, and that's my choice.
There you go. Now what about
now,
the fillies?
Fillies, 2-year-old pacing fillies. J.K. She's a Lady. The other one is Lion Sentinel. I put in J.K. She's a Lady only because she's the first foal from the Harness Horse of the Year. She's a Lady. And you know, congratulations to Nancy Tactor once again, the Three Brothers stable. They had this top mare, Harness Horse of the Year, bred her well to Western Ideal, and the first foal is a major stakes winner. But I don't think she's going to win against Lion Sentinel. This horse is trained by Jim King Jr., won 9 of 14 starts, 4 seconds, 1/3, over $800,000 in earnings. You know, there isn't much to say. And when she lost, she only lost by, you know, a neck or a half a length. I mean, she was there all season. Sentinel's going to be. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just the money she made says it all right there, because you know she wasn't out there. If she's making that kind of money, she's out there, you know, at the top races, and you know, at the top.
That's right. And she made 14 starts, which is a lot for a 2-year-old. And her biggest disappointment was finishing second by a neck in the Breeders' Crown.
Well,
so, I
you
mean,
know, sometimes
she's
I
just
think
the we, top. No, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes I think, you know, that when, you know, they get to, like, the Breeders' Crown and they run second, we kind of, you know, stereotype and said, oh, well, she didn't win the big one. But you look at all the things that she did up until that point, you know,
exactly.
that was horse of the year.
Right, and when they finished second by a neck and they had a tough trip where they were cutting a mile, you really can't fault them that. You know, they just barely got beat. Our next division, there's no contest. 3-year-old pacing colts. Better's Wish was just unbelievable for trainer Chris Ryder, who actually owns the majority share of the horse. He started 19 times, 13 wins, and 6 second place finishes. So even his first and second the entire year, made $1.6 million in purses, which is more than any trotter or pacer in the world this year. I mean, he's the richest one. And I just can't. There's other horses here, but they don't hold a candle to Better's Wish.
Well, you know, he was racing all the time, you know, this year. And
that's right.
Thank God he went, stayed together and held together, and they managed him properly. You know,
exactly
what he did. And it's going to be tough to beat, you know, a horse like that.
Right. And it has to be understood. He also raced against the horses in the TVG Open and finished second in 149-2. So this 3-year-old, I mean, he's flying. And you know what's going to happen. He's going to get turned out. He's going to get a little fat. He's going to grow. He's going to have a little, get some more muscle. And when he's coming back, he's doing what I applaud Chris Ryder and them. He's going to breed maybe 40 mares right now this season and then come back to the races. And that's what we like to hear.
Well, yeah, you know, that gives the fans, you know, to look forward to something, you know, seeing him do that again. Can he copy, you know, this year, next year, or get even close
well,
to it?
That's what everyone's hoping to see. I mean, he was an okay two-year-old. I mean, he did have five wins. He made $275,000. But as a three-year-old, he just exploded. And he has a record of 147-4 that was taken at Lexington. So he's the real thing. We just can't wait for next season.
Now, the next one.
Next division.
No doubt about this one.
Yeah, that's it. Warri Ubru, which is a tongue twister if there ever was one, is the top three-year-old filly. She has twice as much in earnings than anyone else in the field. She also has almost twice as many wins as everyone else. She started 19 times, 12 wins, 2 seconds, and 3/3. So she was there all the time. Made $950,000. Can't miss that.
No, you can't. And, you know, just among the 19 times, if you do the math over the year, that's racing quality races, you know, every few weeks.
Right. Now, the next division, I'm going to go right to the older pacing mares, where there are just two horses in contention. Caveat Alley, who had 9 wins and 7 second place finishes, she made $672,000, which is impressive, but she had to race against Charton End the whole season. And at the end of the season, Caveat Alley.
You know, they when they get at that point, it's kind of like Alley Dar and out, you know, running. It's tough. She's a tough horse. I like that Charton End. I think that, you know, she's the one that you have to go with. She was awful tough, steady, comes out of a good barn and everything. So, older pacer, Lather Up and McWicked. I like McWicked because, his trainer was here, Casey Coleman here at Sunshine Meadows. I like what the owner did with the horse by keeping the horse racing. Really made a big difference there with us. So,
okay, I'm back again. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was just saying what about Charton End, how tough that horse was.
Oh, she was just, again, someone who entered all the dances, and she was tough and gritty, and what I'm thinking is that, you know, it was towards the end of the season, she got a little tired, and Caveat Alley was the only one that had enough stamina to catch her. Mm-hmm. But I still think Charton End was outstanding, totally outstanding.
I was just saying about the older pacer, Lather Up versus McWicked. I like McWicked because Casey Coleman is here at Sunshine Meadows. But the reason I like that horse is the owner kept that horse in training. And he did a lot for the sport, you know, by keeping this horse, you know, racing. And I wish we could see more of that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. McWicked was very good. 6 wins, but some very, very tough miles. He also had 3 seconds, 3/3. He made $1 million, which is great for the 8-year-old who's now going to go stand stud. But he was up against a 4-year-old who was awesome by the name of Lather Up. And Lather Up only made 12 starts, but he had 8 wins, 1 second, 1/3, made $760,000, but he set world records. He tied the all-age world record when he was in Lexington, at the Meadowlands, 146 flat. It was an awesome mile in the graduate final. Then he went in the William Houghton Memorial, and he set the world record there at 1 mile and 1/8. just unbelievable ability this horse has. But
and you know what happened? What gets me is when these horses are setting world records, you know, you say, well, you know, they set a world record, like, say, at Lexington or the Meadowlands. And, you know, what I look at is when they come back and they set a world record at different tracks. You know, Lexington's a lot different than the Meadowlands. You know, and I just think that world records, you know, when they start popping them like that, you know, something has to be said for that.
No, absolutely. But the big question that we need to answer is, who's going to be the trotter of the year, the pacer of the year, and the harness horse of the year? But you know what? We're going to come back to that in a little while, because we have a special guest who's going to be coming on the show any minute now, and we're going to introduce him. His name is Adriano Sorello, who we both know very well, because he's one of the prominent owners that's on the deck every week.
I know. I'm looking forward to him getting on the show, and looking forward to meeting him and talking with him all winter long here on the deck.
Cal Density, perfect post-surgery. I've got proof that this works. Dramatic results, much faster than any other product. Cal Density, it's what's inside that counts.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure on the Flying Turns Harness Racing Hour to introduce one of the most prominent owners we have in the sport right now. He's from Ontario, Canada, and his name is Adriano Sorello. Adriano, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've had what has to be another great, exciting year with your top pacer, Jimmy Frake. I don't know. You had Vegas Vacation, and now you have a Jimmy Frake. Which one do you think was better?
I think Jimmy Frake was better. Believe it or not, it's hard to pick between the two. I I love everything that Vegas did. We won a little brown jug with him, and he was just such a tremendous animal. Jimmy Frake just kind of followed along in that same path. He was strong right from the beginning, and he's got a super big heart, and he was in it in almost every single race that he was in. And I just absolutely love the animal, and seeing him progress from where he started all the way to where he ended, and he went through a lot of different hands, a lot of caretakers and trainers, and going back and forth from Canada to the U.S. So. It was fun to watch that all develop, and he's been tremendous.
Well, now though, his racing career is over. Now he's going to the stud barn up at for Winback Farm in Ontario. But you've done something amazing. Well, not so much amazing. I know it's been done many years ago, but you made a deal with Woodbine Entertainment Group. And apparently in 2003, when Jimmy Frake's first crop hits the races, you've put up $100,000 for the Jimmy Frake stake. Tell us how that came about.
Right. So I always said, if the day comes that I get a stallion, and, with Vegas Vacation, he was a gelding, so obviously that couldn't happen. I said, if the day comes that I do get a stallion, I want to work with the farms or with the tracks and try to do a little bit more to promote the sport and, be able to use, whatever resources I have to do that. And so when we signed the deal with Winback, I brought a few different ideas to the plate. And one of them was, I wanted to do something for the breeders, and I wanted to do something for the syndicate owners, the people who are going to buy into the syndicate. It's just the way I am. And I pitched a couple ideas, and one of them was, something along the lines of giving away a farm truck to the syndicate holders. So anybody that would buy a syndicate share, their names would go in a hat, and we would draw for a farm truck. And the other idea was a gator, or one of those John Deere gators, which are durable,
sure.
Like, $16,000 to $20,000, depending on, what you get. I went to the gators, to the John Deere store locally here in Canada, in my area, and I priced these things all out, and I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We'll do one for anybody who breeds. We'll have a draw, and anybody that buys into the syndicate will do a draw for a truck. So I pitched this idea to Winback, and they were all on board. They loved the idea. And then I mentioned it to a couple friends, and one of them happened to be, I'm not sure if you guys know, you know, Bill Bigler from down there in Florida. And Absolutely. Bill actually mentioned to me, and it was Bill. Bill actually mentioned to me, he said to me, he goes, you know what was really cool? He goes, back in the day in the 80s, he goes, the owners of Elitist, they put up money to have a race for only, you know, his sired babies. And I said, right. That's actually pretty interesting. So I looked into it, and I did see that, you know, this happened in the 80s, before internet, before social media, before all of these, you know, the way we pick up simulcasts, all of that stuff. So it wasn't, we didn't have the technology and, you know, the internet and everything we have nowadays. So I said, you know what, this is actually going to cost me more. You know, so I said, but let's give it a shot. So I talked to Winback. They loved it. I said, well, now we got to check with WEC. And then I reached out to Jessica Buckley, and sure enough, they loved the idea. We went through all the legal ramifications. We got the paperwork done. I did a big media deal with them as well. So you'll be seeing this all over the place coming soon. And put the pen to paper, and here we are. And I did end up keeping the Gator. And we're going to have a draw for syndicate owners. We have a bunch of people that have already bought into the syndicate. I'm pretty sure we're very close to being closed on the syndicate part. So if anybody's interested in that, just give Winback a shout. And we'll still give away a Gator, which is, you know, I don't know, 17, 18, whatever that thing costs, and to one of the syndicate holders. And this benefits, I think, everyone. The breeders who are going to, the commercial breeders that are going to sell Jimmy Frey babies, they got a $100,000 race. There's no stakes payments, no entry fees, which is something that hasn't been done before, from my understanding. And for the people buying Jimmy Frey babies, you know, we all paid those stake payments. They start in February, March, April, May. To be eligible for a race for $100,000 and not have to look at a staking payment, that's, in my eyes, that's a pretty big deal.
It is. It is. Now, Scott, have you ever heard of this in the thoroughbreds?
Well, they do something similar, but this is a sure win deal right here, because you know you're going to have however many horses in that race. That's going to be good. You know, have you had a lot of people inquiring about about breeding to him?
Well, the initial day when we announced it, like, I didn't want to let anybody know about it. I wanted WEG to put out the news release. The initial day that we announced it, Winback was getting tons of calls. I spoke to Pat Woods over at the Ontario farm, and he says, we're getting calls, and I'm getting, like, emails like crazy. And so it was good. And, you know, sometimes you doubt your decision. You're like, you know what? I'm putting up $100,000. This might not make any kind of difference. You know, like, I know all the stuff that I'm doing on social media. You know, it's fun. People enjoy it. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody that might say it's a gimmick. I mean, nobody is going to breed to your stallion because you give them a $25 gift card. Like, that's common sense. We know that. It's more the promotion of the sport, because it's never been done. I don't see many people doing what I've done, and it's something that I've wanted to do. But in retrospect, it's worked out, and we're getting a lot of bookings to Jimmy Frey. I'm super happy with it already, and I have no doubt that his book is going to be full and closed pretty soon here.
Well, you know what I like about the whole idea of it is that it could possibly lead to getting new owners into the business. You know, if you go to an owner and say, hey, look, you know, we have a stallion here that if you breed to him, you know, you got a shot at $100,000 right off the bat. And, you know, I think that's going to bring a lot of new owners. So I applaud you for, you know, doing something like that towards the business.
Right. There's some things that you have to look at that make it stand out a bit here. One, you have our super final here for the golds for our sire stakes program. Our super final goes for $225,000, and our grassroots final goes for $75,000. So this race actually falls in between for $100,000. And, you know, for people who just want to stake to sire stakes, this is actually, you know, is very good for them, you know, because they get a race and you don't have to go up against all the rest of the competition. And, you know, it's just us. It's Jimmy Frey babies. And I think it's pretty good. I've had nothing but positive feedback. I had a lot of messages, emails, text messages. In fact, I'm actually pulling up to the racetrack now. And I got out of the car before this interview, and a couple people were getting out of their car, and they approached me to talk about it. So it's good. It's something positive. And for Woodbine Entertainment, for WEG and Mohawk, They're very excited about it, and hopefully we can continue it and we can keep doing it year after year, which is my intention. And, you know, I'm excited for it and for the breeders and for the people buying babies.
Yeah. So you're telling me you're going to be bringing a lot of hats down here this winter to Sunshine Meadows.
Oh, sorry. What was that?
You're going to be bringing a lot of hats down here to Sunshine Meadows this winter on the day.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm coming down there in a few days, but I'm taking a cruise, and then I'll be back there in January, coming down for a bit, and I just want to go around and see, you know, everybody's babies and horses and stuff like that. I got nothing that's training down there. Well, I think there's a couple with Burke that are training someplace in Florida or wherever right. he is. But but I'm coming down there for sure to come see everybody's yearlings and see how everybody's doing. And you know, racing is fun. You know, if you make it fun, you know, we always have to keep the positive going. There's a lot of new stallions out this year, which is fantastic for racing. People seem to be excited. A lot of the programs are getting better and stronger. Ontario's Sire Stakes program is super strong. The handles here have been very good at Mohawk the last little while. I think the switch from Woodbine to Mohawk all year round has been very, very positive. Wagering's up and people seem to be happy. And I think we have, if we utilize the tools that we have, which is, you know, the internet, which we're all on, social media is super powerful. People don't understand how powerful it can be. And if we utilize those things, we can bring a positive impact. And, if you share enough things with people, friends of friends of friends will see it. And, you know, we all have friends on our social media that have no binding to harness racing, and they see the things that we're doing. And even if it sparks interest in one or two of those people, we've already accomplished something.
Yeah. No, you put a lot of pressure on owners and breeders because somebody else is going to be wanting to do it too.
It sure does. Owners, trainers, breeders, everyone.
You got that. Shoot, I might even have to work me a little overtime so I can get in on this deal.
There you go. But, Adriano, you've done a superb job. I mean, you found you had your people. You found Jimmy Freight out in Iowa, of all places, and brought him out here. And what a tough, gutsy horse he was. And people hopefully will, you know, are going to breed to him, and hopefully they'll get another little Jimmy.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. Like, I mean, like when I look back at his career, there's a few decisions that I made that weren't the smartest decisions. You know, like not taking him to the NA Cup, you know, you're missing a race there for $1 million that who knows what could have happened. You know, it could have been another $500,000 on his card. You just don't know. But at the time, you know, I got him out of Iowa. He was 5-for-5 and undefeated in Iowa. And, those five races, he totaled $6,300 made. So you have to imagine, he won five races out in Iowa. We bring him here north to Canada, and he goes on to make over $1.45 million, you know, Canadian racing. And now he's off the stallion duty and hopefully getting some solid babies out in the racetrack. And I think it will be. And you know, it's exciting.
It is. It is. And we want to thank you for coming on the show today. This is great. And as we go forward, we're going to have you back on so we can talk about how things are going, how many mares are bred. But I have one final question for you. How many brood mares do you own now that are going to Jimmy?
I have a few. You know, I see a lot of rumors where people say I have X amount or X amount. But I'll be honest with you, I have, I believe it's 6 or 7. And that's where I'm at right now, because a couple of them are fillies that are racing, but I believe it's 6 that we have right now. I bought a couple brood mares out in Harrisburg, and I had already previously bought a couple. I bought last year's O'Brien Award winner for the open mare category. She won Exhilarated. She won the open mare last year in 2000 for the 2018, and Jimmy Freight won the 3-year-old for 2018. So they'll be meeting together in the breeding shed, and so I wanted to do that, and I got that done last week. So I'm excited about it, and I see a lot of nice mares. I've seen a list come across with some names, and you know, when you're in Ontario and you start seeing some names and some, you know, some nice mares and 50 pacers and 49 pacers, it's nice. You like to see that kind of stuff, and there's a lot of people that are excited about him, seeing that he's you know, the richest and fastest son of sports writer. So I mean, you know, a lot of people in Ontario, sports writer has been a big deal in Ontario for many years, and this has been his first millionaire. It's the richest and fastest horse that he's had, and a lot of people are looking at it and they're saying, here he is. This is the one we want to breed to. So that's good for me. That's good for Winback, and I'm excited for the breeders and for everyone going through the sale buying them.
Well, that's great. And Adriano, we appreciate you coming on here, telling us everything. It's a super, super promotion. And, of course, we're going to talk with you again soon and see how it comes out. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks for coming on, guys. Anytime we can help you do anything, let us know.
For sure. Happy holidays and enjoy your new year.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Okay, Scott, that worked out very, very well. Adrian,
yeah, I'll tell you what, he's on to something there. I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people do that. I'm telling you, that's going to put pressure on breeders and trainers, you know, and owners to, you know, create a same thing for
Absolutely, but Adriano, since he came to the sport, his profession is internet marketing and promotion. So he just took it and twisted it around a little bit and made it great. Like you said, it's going to attract people. It's going to put a name out there. We'll be every time we turn on and watch Woodbine, we'll probably see Jimmy Freight signs all over the place. He's doing it upright.
Let's get back
to our voting here. We did all the horses in their individual divisions, but now we have to talk about who you think. Well, we know already. You think Atlanta is going to win Trotter of the Year award,
right?
Well,
that's what I think.
It's one of the contenders. I ended up going with Green Shoe. I just felt that he was really strong. Yeah. How about the Pacers? Who do you think is going to be the Pacer of the Year?
You know, I tell you what, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. You know, I'd like to see McQuicken, but it was a tough year. I like Chartnan. That's who I'm going to have to go with.
Well, I have to agree with you. I mean, it's very tough, and people will argue left and right that, you know, bettors wish one more money, one more races, one did this, you know, did that. But you have to look at Charton as one gutsy mare. I mean, last year she became the first mare to ever win over $1 million. And she almost did it for a second straight year. And at 1.14 straight wins against the best older mares in the nation. I mean, there's no contest for that. And that's, I agree with you. And that's why I voted for Chartnan, and I voted for her as the horse of the year. She just was super.
Yeah,
and she's
going to
come back and race again.
Yep. That could, I don't know. There's $100,000 up there for grabs. If you could have created the right mare.
You're right. There you go. wait a second. We got to make sure Chartnan's, that's right, Tintin in America. Oh, no, she can breed to any of it. She can go to Jimmy Freight. Boy, what a foal that would be.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Now,
but that's who I go with.
As we move forward, because when it comes to award time, I think the harness riders at that Orlando dinner give about 40 awards or more that night, but they make it a great affair. I mean, it's February 23rd, the Sunday. It's at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel and a resort in Orlando. It's a 5-star hotel, and the dinner is always superb. The harness riders put on one of the greatest evening events. They make it go fast. They make it entertaining, and then of course the after parties are just as good as the main party.
That's something that everybody, you know, especially being in Florida in the wintertime, you know, that's going to make it good. And I bet you see just about any and everybody in the business will be there.
I think so. I think it's going to be a great, great crowd. Plus, at the dinner, the six newest members of the Hall of Fame, they get introduced for the first time. So Billy Popfinger, Tim Tietrich, Jeff Gorrell, Tom Charters, they're all going into the Hall of Fame. The Communicators, Ken Weingartner and Phil Piccioni. I mean, it's just going to be a who's who of harness racing at this event.
Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that the sport needs, you know, to see and be able to talk to these people that are out there. If we could get an interview with a couple of them while you're up there, it'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. It will be. But they're going to be announcing all the human award winners shortly. And there's also the broodmares of the year. We're not going to break them all down, but just a few categories that have multiple choices in them because we don't have enough time on the show. But the top three for the trainer of the year are Tony Alagna, who trains right at Sunshine Meadows,
okay.
Ron Burke, and Marcus Melander.
I tell you what, you know who I like, and not because he's here and I'm sitting here looking over at his barn. I think Tony has done a great job with what he had, for the year. He was just amazing. And he pulled some wins out, you know, that surprised a lot of people, and he's consistent.
No, I totally agree with you. I can make a case for all three of them. I mean, Ron Burke is Ron Burke. He has the biggest stable all over the country, $10 million in earnings. I can't even think of how many wins all his horses have. And he does a superb job. He's won the award in the past. And a newcomer, Marcus Melander, who a lot of people may not be that familiar with, but they'll know his horses for sure. And that is just in the three-year-old trotting colt category this year. Marcus Melander had Gimpanzee, who made $1.1 million. He trains Green Maulishi S, who made $650,000. And he trains Green Shoe, who made $1.2 million, who I think is going to be the trotter of the year. He's just had an amazing season. So all three of these guys are top-notch.
Well, you know, it's going to be very difficult, to pick a trainer like that. And I think a lot of people are going to go back and see, you know, what type of races they won. And what Tony did in the Breeders' Crown, you know, that was just, phenomenal.
Yep, so, you're 100% correct.
That's why.
Now, let's go over the top three choices for driver of the year. And again, in each of these categories, these three, the three top nominees, any one of them can win it, and no one's going to bat an eye because they all had great, great seasons. To me, Tim Tietrich has been superb. I mean, his wins, his consistency, his ability to take some of these horses and win and do things with them. He's just, every season, he's unbelievable. And Brian Sears, again, you know, when you see him down listed on three or four horses in the same race because everybody wants him, is testimony enough. But my choice, who I feel is the strongest one, is the young man from New Zealand by the name of Dexter Don.
I tell you, coming to the States to do things that he's done just might get him there.
You're right. It's I don't know it. Years, I've never seen someone come to this country and, I don't want to say take over, but just literally become a household name in harness racing than Dexter Don. People didn't realize, you know, that he won the World Driving Championship four years ago. Then he went off and he was driving in Ireland. And next thing you know, he's winning races left and right over there. And then he says, you know what? I'm ready to come. And he was New Zealand's leading driver for 5 years. I mean, he's only 27 years old. And now he comes to North America. And your choices are Yannick, Tietrich, Sears, or Dexter Dunn. And he brings them home. You know, he can drive with finesse, or he drive anything. He's willing to get up on anything. And
what I like about Dexter Dunn, he just seemed to fit in. You know, it's like there was almost no time for him to adjust, you know, where it takes a jockey or a driver, you know, a few months. He just fit right in.
You're right. And what also happened is a few of his countrymen, Chris Ryder for one, you know, as soon as he came over here, he grabbed them and put them on the horse, on his horses. And lo and behold, you have Better's Wish, who Dexter's been driving. And other drivers or trainers, you know, and owners have realized this. And the fans do too. I mean, they look to say, oh, well, this guy's from New Zealand. Who knows what he can do? Well, after a month or so, he showed him. And he's just got great ability.
Hey, you know, I know we're getting close on time here, you know, for our program. And now that we're talking about drivers, what about the amateur driver of the year?
I know, you know what, Scott? You're just a hound dog because the harness writers named the amateur driver of the year for only the second time in the history. It's a woman. And, of course, there are very, very pretty women that have won this. Hannah Miller won it years ago. I think it was just 3 years ago. And now we have a young lady from Ohio by the name of Jasmine Arnold.
Well, you know what's exciting about that is that's showing, you know, that the sport is accepting, you know, women in the sport as trainers, owners, and drivers. You know,
they'll get an earful from Casey Coleman or Nancy Thatcher, that's for sure. But yeah. Jasmine really made a name for herself. I think she had like 59 starts, 23 wins, 10 seconds, and 5 third place finishes. Her universal driver rating, or batting average as referred to, is .512. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, and I just think it goes to show that there's so many areas we can grow the sport in, you know, with syndications and, you know, all the different things. So it was really good.
No, I can understand that. And before we close out here, we got one more important topic we need to cover, and that is the official opening of On the Deck is going to take place at Sunshine Meadows on Saturday, January 4th.
Well, you know, that is so exciting for us here. You know, we're glad to have Myron Bell, Tony, you know, and all the people that are involved, you know, with that here and everything. And we have our next Flying Turn show will be January 9th. So we'll be able to talk about that on the January 9th show and maybe even have some interviews, you know, on that show from people that attended that event.
Absolutely, Scott. On Saturday, January 4th, Jeff Bell, who is prominent Captain Crunch owner, Myron Bell's brother, has done the second annual stable roster for Sunshine Meadows. And that book is going to come out and be available for free on the deck on their opening day, January 4th. And Jeff has done a superb job. He has all the horses, all the 2 and 3 year olds that are stable at Sunshine Meadows. He has their name, their breeding, who owns them, and most importantly, each one has a saddle pad number in the book, so that while you're watching the races or the fans that come out here, they can look and they can see number 144, look it up in the book, and see the breeding and everything else on it, which I think is superb, and it's free for everyone.
Wonder where our million-dollar horse is. Wonder what number he's going to get in that book.
I don't know. You're right. You have to come to the deck and get a book and find out.
You got it. Steve, thanks for being here today. I know I'm at Sunshine Meadows, and you're and further south than me, working on all the things that you're working, getting ready to go to Paris and all. So, you know, we want to make sure that you know,
that's right. I think on the next show we'll give an update on what's going on there because every week it gets better and better.
You got it.
It's going to be a superb time in Paris.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening to us today and getting, you know, staying with us. And eventually we're going to get to video and all the other things through our crew with BBS there in California. Without them, you know, we wouldn't be able to do anything.
Right, and it's going to be a great winter. I mean,
you got it.
We're going to have the show. We're going to have On the Deck on Saturdays with a special show. everything's going to really fall into place. But we also got to remind remind our fans that if you're coming to On the Deck, I forgot, there'll be breakfast waiting for you. I think Murray Brown's the head of the food committee for out there, but he does a great job bringing those flagels and bagels and cream cheese and butter and orange juice and coffee and who knows what else. We have that champagne brunch from Harness Racing Update. I hope we have that again, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Murray put 8 pounds on me last year.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You'll just have to find a mare or buy a syndicate share and win that gator that Adrian Serrano has. Okay, Scott, it's been great. Another good show, and we will talk to our fans in 2 weeks.